And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. You own a business and you want to sell it, but how much is it really worth and what's the best way to get the most money out of its sale? To talk about that, I'm joined by Chris Bleese. He's the president and CEO of Bix Coeford Certified Public Accountants and Bix Coeford Capital Investment Bank. He's also the co-author of the upcoming book, Middle Market M&A, Handbook for Investment Banking and Business Consulting. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Thank you.
First of all, the economic downturn has hit small businesses particularly hard. Many having to close up shop. Isn't this a bad time to actually sell an existing business?
Well, I'd say it's either the best of times or the worst of times. There's kind of two different views of that. In general, you're correct. The market has not been good to a lot of businesses, and so for those that the market has not been good to, it is probably not a good time to sell. Now, for those companies who have been able to weather the storm well and who are actually profitable and positioned well today, it actually may be the best time to sell because the simple supply and demand. There are not a lot of good companies for sale right now, and yet there is a lot of appetite to acquire. So if you are one of the few companies that have done well and are doing well today, you actually can command a pretty decent price for your company.
Now, you say there are two main buyer groups that would purchase a prospective business. How would you describe them?
Yeah, basically the two primary groups that most people will go out to the market and sell to would be strategic buyers or financial buyers. And strategic buyers are basically known as corporate buyers, but folks that are in the industry, somehow related to the industry that your company is in. So these could be your competitors, they could be your customers, your vendors, or someone that has a synergistic reason for acquiring your company. The financial buyers, the biggest category of those in the market today are private equity firms. And these are essentially equity companies that are interested in acquiring private businesses. So essentially operate like a mutual fund, except that instead of buying publicly traded stocks, they buy ownership interests and usually controlling interests in privately held companies.
I see. And so, at this point, are we mostly seeing strategic or financial buyers?
Well, what's interesting is we're seeing both today. Throughout the last 10 or 20 years, you could go back in time, and for cycles, the strategic buyers would lead the path, and then for another cycle, the financial buyers would lead in terms of who's acquiring more. What's interesting is today, we have both. Everyone's heard, in the news, you hear a lot of the cash on the sidelines that's held by corporate America. Well, that's cash that's available for acquisition, and a lot of strategic buyers, corporate buyers, are interested in acquiring for the right company in the right space. So they're active and they're out there looking. But we also see financial buyers, private equity firms, have raised a huge amount of capital, and because there are not a lot of attractive companies to buy, they also are underbought. So they're out looking to purchase as well. So that's what's really causing the M&A market for a good company to actually be pretty attractive today.
As a seller, then, should a seller be taking a different approach to each of these types of buyers when negotiating a price?
Yeah, there is. There's a very different approach, and not only just in terms of negotiating a price, but I would even say in terms of gearing the company toward a sale years in advance, or at least months in advance. So if someone's interested in selling their company, they ought to consider that sale potentially many years in advance and determine who might be their best buyer in the future. And if they can determine who might be their best buyer, they can actually help to drive the value of their company right into the hands of that particular buyer.
I'm talking to Chris Bleese. He's the president and CEO of Bix Coeford Certified Public Accountants and Bix Coeford Capital Investment Bank, and the co-author of an upcoming book, Middle Market M&A, Handbook for Investment Banking and Business Consulting. Now, when it comes to the value of a business, how is that perceived generally? What factors play into the perception of the value, and how can it be maximized by the seller?
Well, that's the interesting part. Most people think that valuation is a scientific approach, and that there's some single answer to their particular business. The reality is that at any point in time, every business has hundreds of correct values. And really, the difference between any of those multiple values for a business has to do with who the buyer is. The buyer of the company is going to dictate the nature of how the value is determined. And what are those key metrics that drive value? So as an example, a strategic buyer may be very interested in buying your company because of the geography you occupy or because of a particular product line that you're very successful with, and may not be interested in, for instance, your management team or your sales force, because that strategic buyer may have their own management team and sales force. So those elements of your business may not drive value in the eyes of that strategic buyer. On the flip side, a financial buyer may be very interested in your management team and your sales force because they don't necessarily have those resources of their own. So every buyer values different elements of your business, and they value them differently. So again, it's first of all determining who might your buyer be, and then figuring out how do you best build a company that will play into the hands of that particular buyer.
Now, you say that a business owner should have quite a lot of foresight, maybe years, months ahead of time, considering the sale of the business and considering setting that process up. When it comes to negotiating a business, how long does that usually take? And what is the process, and at what point does a seller realize that he's got a deal that'll work for him?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. Every deal is a little different. I would say, you know, in most mid-market size companies, and you know, the space that I deal in particularly tends to be $5 to $50 million transactions. And in that general space, which is sort of known as the lower middle market, I would say the average transaction or transfer time from the point in time where a seller wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to sell my company, to the point where they actually close the transaction, I would say on average is 9 months. So it's certainly not an overnight process. It's something that, you know, takes a good amount of time. You asked when might someone know that the deal is going to go through. You know, I would tell you when the check's cleared, probably. I mean, it's the process can derail at any number of points along that timeline. And and I can tell you, I've seen every deal derail. I've seen every type of deal derail at almost every one of those time frames. So, keeping a deal on track and getting to a closing, you know, in a best case scenario can be 3 months. In a reasonable case scenario, maybe 6 months. And I would say most of the time it's 6 to 9 months.
And most businesses that are being sold, are they typically in a healthy condition, or are they facing potential trouble? What's the situation nowadays with most sellers?
Well, that's hard to say in terms of most sellers. I mean, clearly the business owners who are purposefully going about selling their companies, hopefully are doing so not because they're in a distressed situation. The marketplace as a whole, of course, has seen an increase in distressed sales over the last 3 years. As the general economy has turned down. And so distressed transactions do make up a fairly large component. But of course there's still active transactions going on in the non-distressed space, in normal profitable companies. And I think, you know, of course, when we talk about strategic buyers and financial buyers, those folks are generally out looking for successful companies. You know, there are a few players, mostly in the strategic space, that are the bottom feeders, so to speak, that are out looking for turnaround situations. But for the most part, companies want to buy successful businesses. They don't want to take on problem children.
Finally, are you better off being a franchise owner? Do these kinds of businesses seem to be easier to sell?
Well, I'll tell you, franchises tend to be better to own and operate, have a better success rate than do independent startups. Independent startups always have a greater degree of failure, just because they don't have the built-in systems and support that comes with a franchise. On the selling side, on the other hand, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. Sometimes franchises can be harder to sell, because they don't necessarily have the scalability or expansion opportunities that standalone companies have. Standalone companies oftentimes don't have those barriers to enter new markets. They're not restricted by geography or, you know, zip codes and those sorts of things, where a lot of franchises can be. So franchises might have less risk and be maybe better business startup opportunities, but may actually be more difficult or actually limit your selling opportunities.
Chris Blees, President and CEO of Biggs Cofford Certified Public Accountants and Biggs Cofford Capital Investment Bank, also the co-author of the upcoming book, Middle Market M&A, Handbook for Investment Banking and Business Consulting. Thank you very much for joining me, Chris.
No problem. Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.